down to the left side. We will survive in this country wilderness. Swimming through the waters of Babylon like a rebel fish. Journalist, specialist, predator and survivalist. Spitting heaven's fire from his lips. Burn the same driver.
Welcome, listeners, to Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get an understanding. Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com. That's the homepage, and catch the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening and catch the live stream there also. You can go to ourradionetwork.com. Again, that's ourradionetwork.com. They broadcast out of the Black Belt and catch the live stream there. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you'll see the icon and you can stream the program live, even into your car if you have the Bluetooth capabilities or the auxiliary connection. Again, that's Time for an Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, that's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted daily. And do me a favor, before you leave that page, just hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook, and Time for Awakening Media is there also. The revamp, Time for Awakening Media. Always full of the latest podcasts of the various programs on Time for an Awakening and interesting articles that you can download, read at later times, or even share with your friends. So again, make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. Oh, happy to be back with the listening audience of Time for an Awakening. And we'll get a chance to go into open forum a little later in the program. But first, we're going to get an update for the from some of the activists and organizers of the Ujima People's Party, People's Progress Party, out of Baltimore, Brother Namdi and Brother Brandon. Brother Brandon is with us this evening. Brother Namdi might be joining us a little bit later. We're going to get an update from Brother Brandon on the statewide convention that was held on May 11th for the party. And also any new initiatives and things going on down in Baltimore that we need to know about here on Time for an Awakening. Again, we all need to be active in the cities where we dwell, in the areas where our people inhabit, because we need to take control of the politics of our communities, which has really nothing to do with politics on the national or local level with the Democrat or Republican Party. But we'll talk about that with our special guest this evening, Brother Brandon. We'll be right back to get the program started after a brief word from our sponsor.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening. With your host, Brother Elliot, Sundays 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, welcome back to Time for an Awakening. I'll be flying solo this evening, hosting the program. Brother Richard is out of the country. He went to the continent, and he'll be there for 2 weeks. So I guess when he comes back, he'll have a lot of information that he wants to share with the Time for Awakening audience. I wish Brother Richard a successful trip. I wish that was me going over to the continent for 2 weeks, but some folks got it like that. Brother Richard will be there for 2 weeks. I think he's leaving today. So I'll probably hear from him while he's there and looking forward to him getting back. I think he'll be back the week of the 14th of June. I think in that week sometime, unless he decides to stay a little bit longer. But flying solo this evening, and we were off the air last week doing some revamping with the website and doing that knocked some of my players out that I needed to broadcast live. We're back up and running. Everything is full steam ahead. I'll talk later on when we go into a perform about some of the new things on the website and some of the features that we're adding, some of the new programming. Maybe one of the new hosts will be joining us this evening. I usually try to showcase some of the new hosts that are going to be doing programs on Time for an Awakening, and I didn't get the chance to showcase Brother Franklin Jones. So if he's out there listening, maybe he can give us a call around 8:30, and we can talk about the Black Matrix. But before we do that, and before we go into open forum or anything else, I want to get a little update from Brother Brandon of the Ujima People's Progress Party. They had their statewide convention on May 11th down in Baltimore, and just want to get a little update from Brother Brandon on some of the things going on and moving forward in relation to the party. Brother Brandon, how are you, sir?
Hey, how are you, brother? I'm glad to be able to be back on the show as well, and give Brother Richard my best as he travels to the continent.
Yeah, like I said, some folks got it like that, man. I can't even go around the corner. This man going to the continent for 2 weeks. But it's good that he can get away. I know he'll have a lot of things to talk about once he gets back.
Yes, indeed. A lot that's going on, man. A lot.
Brother Brandon, talk about some of the, you know, and we're going to touch on some other things related to our struggle here and related to politics and how that all kind of plays in to a certain extent. And I'm not necessarily I'm not talking about the Democratic political, the Democratic Republican politics that they play in this country, but I'm talking about the politics of our communities. But we'll deal with some of that. But first, let's talk about the statewide convention that was on May 11th. Understand you had some excellent speakers there. Brother Khalid Rahim was down there. I talked with him about a week and a half ago because we're trying to do some more things here in Philadelphia to let the people know about what's going on in our state. Sometimes you have to inform our people because that the scripture that I quoted at the beginning of the program, that our people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, is very true. Some of our people don't have the knowledge of what's going on because they're not informed. So I try to use Time for Awakening and other programs on Time for Awakening Media to at least let our people know things that's going on and, more importantly, how they can get involved. So talk about the statewide convention that was held May 11th down in Baltimore.
Yes, so the conference that we had on May 11th, 2019 was held at Pleasant Baptist Church on the northeast side of Baltimore. And specifically, the turnout was better than anticipated, where for myself, I say, hey, you know, let your best be better and your great get greater. And the event was a great turnout. People came from as far as Eastern Shore, Southern Maryland, and as well as those from out of Frederick County, different parts of the state, and as well as along the Northeast Seaboard and region specifically. That includes the Brother Glenn Foy from the Black Agenda Report, Brother Khalid Rahim from the New African Independence Party in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and a series of dynamic panelists and hosts as well. But what I would like to point out, what also made it a success, was the number of participants on the panel, that where we had even representation with a youth panel, okay, a panel with a women's panel as well. And things were pretty fleshed out, and the conversations that went in depth would go as far as speaking about how the Chicago City Council was taken over, you know, by the anti police brutality group out there, a lot of points and key measures. But most importantly, what made it a success, Brother Elliot, was that we were able to convey a message, bring people to the conference, be able to engage in dialogue, but more importantly, share the platform and get people involved with the party, sign up membership, and be able to move forward with those that came as well.
Hey, Brother Brandon, in your state, was a lot of people aware of what you men had formed and what you were doing in Baltimore, or they were coming prepared to be involved, or they were coming to just out of curiosity find out what was going on. What was the kind of the dynamic of the convention as far as the people coming?
Yes, great question. So people were coming out of curiosity and pretty much to check us out to see exactly we are who we say we are, because a lot of times you'll have people that put themselves out there and they'll listen for that and to be able to ask certain questions to see if the responses add up with what is being projected and thrown out there for serious messages. But people, for the most part, were coming to see about the party from hearing about us online, from seeing us at different demonstrations and different events, and also through word of mouth and other mediums where information is shared as well. However, it also turned out to be an opportunity to have a contact list to be able to reach out to people and say, hey, you know, I know you're on the different side of the state. I know you're in a different county inside the state of Maryland. So we don't want to limit our focus to just one demographic in one area in the central part. We would like to move around the peripherals of the state and different areas to be able to organize and potentially launch chapters across the state of Eugene the People's Progress Party as well. So I would say that it's a culmination of people wanting to know exactly what would they be getting out of it, get involved, how can they get involved, but more importantly, just following up on the word of mouth and the media advertisement that's been put out there as well.
Okay, so I guess from the people on other parts of the state, from around the state, were really interested in finding out the planks and platforms so they could start developing candidates to be part of the party?
Yeah, absolutely. And also ways that they could learn about fight back programs in their area. How can they apply that pressure to those candidates or those incumbent in office, but not so much as being focused on the 2, 4, 6, and 8 year models of electoral politics, but how do they use that into the social dynamics, the economic dynamics, co-ops, and other modes and methods that we look to ingratiate ourselves into the community, where if someone is running for a local block captain or a RAD board delegate for that matter, because we had someone who won a RAD board election, those are important because they also had the power to change people's lives, to be able to go from just a passive participant to an active participant, and also get involved with being in the face of your local government, fighting for those human rights and those dynamics that tend to get looked over just because of an income or a class material interest. So with that, I would say a lot of the conversation have generated much more wealth outside of the electoral question, because we understand that, you know, elections is just a once a year, twice a year, and a biennial kind of thing. And we want to focus on something that's 365 grounded, where we're able to lay eyes and ears on each other and hold each other accountable to our words and let our actions influence the balance of what we would like to carry out as an organization, and also as someone who cares about poor and working class communities and black and brown bodies in the state of Maryland.
I see Brother Namdi has joined us. Brother Namdi, are you there?
Yes, brother.
How are you, sir? Listen, oh boy, I see you got your hands full there, brother.
Yes, brother. Yeah. I was just actually listening to the comrade, man.
Well, good.
If you really need me to participate, I can, but the comrade got it down, man. This brother is on fire.
Good. I'll put you back on hold because I see you got your hands full.
Thank you.
All right. Brother Brandon, you talked about some of the youth and you were happy to have some of the youth involved. And that's imperative that we get our youth involved in some of these progressive movements for our people, dealing with our people's struggle. Now, I'm going to flip the script and talk about here. When we had Brother Khalid come to Philadelphia from Pittsburgh to inform some of the people on this side of the state or in the eastern side of the state about what he was doing in the western side of the state, number one, a lot of people weren't aware, and we have a black terrestrial station in Philadelphia. In fact, it's the only one in the state. But they kind of cater to Democrat and, well, not Republican. They cater to Democratic leadership. So they don't really focus on any independent black parties that are functioning around the country. So that being said, a lot of people weren't aware. But some of the young people that we've talked to weren't really interested in politics. And with myself and Brother Richard, you know, in talking to some of them, and I'm not saying all, to get them to understand is that when we use the term politics and getting involved in politics, I'm not talking about this Democratic Republican stuff that we see here and are used to. Our people developed political systems and politics long before Europeans could read. And when they came to the continent, they seen societies with laws and functioning governments. That's politics. I think that we have to understand that in order to move our people forward, we have to establish some type of order in our communities and also order that deals with economics, education, housing, and jobs. We have to control these things in our community, and it has to be a starting point. Talk about the ideal in your mind. Why it's necessary for our people to get involved in controlling the politics in our communities?
Great question. Great way to segue into it, brother. So I guess I'll start with the very basics, the essence of quality of life for our people as we stand in this nation today. It's important for us to get involved with the political decisions that happen at City Hall, and also extending on up to our rent office and also community associations, because those decisions, which seems minute on a scale that we're going back and forth in a cyclical path from our 9-to-5s to our 24/7, 365 jobs of being a parent, a family member, or a loved one to someone, it can easily get lost in translation and not having a structured approach or principled way of going into a disciplined fashion of being able to align ourselves with recognizing why is it that things hasn't changed versus the changes we so desire. And specifically speaking, they're looking at how water, for example, where your homes being taken for water, or a 14% gas rate hike that will be played out on your bill to be $8 or $14 difference. Sometimes that's a matter of whether or not you're able to keep a place of residence, depending on exactly the tenancy or the relationship you have with the building or the area that you live in, or who is in control of the housing dynamic. What makes it important, just with the quality of life, coming back to my original point, sometimes holding someone accountable is just as important as how we see ourselves when we look in the mirror, on how we wish to raise our children and also be involved with a community. Sometimes we cannot get caught into a stigma that speaking to someone else with concern or getting discouraged by their response, be it negative or not, is that they don't care. It's that people really want to know, or people have to be enlightened, have to be inspired, has to be, you know, innovated, or even, you know, agitated a little, because no response is the issue. Getting a response, you have something. So getting involved with politics is very much the essence in most cases that I would say, being able to address how the quality of life for some is mainly affecting the quality of life for many.
Yeah, Brother Nnamdi, when our people, because it's the same all over the country, especially in our areas where we are dwelling. You see people that step forward that supposed to represent the community. A lot of times they're representing special interests. The majority of the time they're representing special white interests. They're representing developers, because gentrification is running wild in these cities. And they represent themselves. I read an article on your site on Facebook that talked about the Korean Businessmen's Association down in Baltimore, wanted the money back that they paid the mayor, Pugh, $60,000. They wanted the money back that they gave, well, influence. That's basically what it is, influence peddling. They wanted that money back. When the community sees those type of things, see, you're offering an alternative, something that our people needs to be involved in. But when, by and large, when our community sees these type of things, they kind of throw up their hands because they don't know what to do. Talk about that, because those type of behaviors by some of our people that are supposed to represent our community, it needs to really be dealt with. We have to put together a mechanism where we can deal with these people that basically betray the trust of the community. Give me your opinion in reference to that, Brother Brandon.
Yeah, so looking at that, the influence, when there's a lack of a political will, then the agenda is already set with the card, where the cards are reshuffled, the table is replaced, and the chairs are moved around slightly to acquiesce one form of, I would say, white supremacy and white power and dominance over a whole city in servitude, with black servitude. And specifically speaking, I'm going to go to our platform. Well, we're asking for the quality of life to be addressed in a formula of where the social and economic justice to come back to holding elected officials accountable, to be able to say that if you do not represent the issues that are on our platform, in which we have candidates, but also in the community, we come as a whole representing ourselves, to be able to see how is it that the influence of a mayor can just pretty much lock out an entire community of poor and working class folks in the city of Baltimore or in other areas or in the city urban areas across the nation. Specifically, it comes a question of having that or else power, stopping power. You're going to stop what you're doing to these corners or else. You're going to pick up this trash. You're going to adhere to the violence or the fight or the fight against the community programs or else. And when I look at that mayor, the former mayor, Catherine Spew, $60,000 and that influence, it kind of lets me know, or if anyone who is looking, that this is contrived of concentrated politics and servitude of backdoor interest. And that means there's the police involved. That means there's also the education system. That also means that there's also those who stand in between as gatekeepers, that when attempting to approach the scenario to address it a certain way from a community aspect and using the platform that we have for social and economic justice as a party, there's also those who can try to circumvent from answering your questions by holding you back or even being present in your community spaces without really giving any conclusions that don't include and answers that don't answer. So I come back to where we are with the initial inquiry on that $60,000 in influence, and how do we get into an area where on each corner there's either hope or despair. You have a church, you have a liquor store. Both are adhering or having someone down City Hall getting their interest and representation met with someone of political or at least legal bounds to be able to hear what are the concerns in that area. But when it comes to the community being able to be misled and also left out of the table or the equation for that matter, a lot of it comes around choosing misleadership blindly and being unbinded. So when we see a figure of 60,000 or more, we have to also look at their systems in play that allows this to continue. So it becomes more of what kind of incubative leadership do we develop using the platform that we have for social and economic justice as UGMA to develop and build new leadership and ones that are accountable where we're from the community and we're coming with or else power, stopping power, even more than just protesting power, boycott the whole enchilada, I would say, because we cannot just leave it up to one approach to be able to address the contradictions of a mayor taking money from developers, liquor store owner, business owners, people who do not have any interest in the community, who will only sell out and go belly up once their business is not no longer attractive, they're not able to string revenue from a city or area that's gentrifying.
Yo, Brother Brandon, we got a couple calls and I want to go to them. But before I do that, tell me, you know, because I've seen the planks for the Ujima People's Progress Party. How important is it in your mind to have planks or a code of ethics to hold our people to, as opposed to somebody in the Democratic Party, for example, that their code of values or code of conduct we really know nothing about? How important is it to have cultural values tied to a code of ethics in anything that we do, not just a political party, but anything we do?
I think it's vital. I think it's vital, and more so it's crucial to your development, where your demands are being met, not just in the strategic front, but in principle, in general, and generally speaking. And the reason why a platform is necessary, so it's understood that we're not looking forward to being another cog in the machine or another tool of misuse or just something that fly by night and gone by the next day, because we're not able to play by the rules as the table or the games are set. Having a platform and a code of conduct, as we would say as well, it understands that everyone has equal amount of responsibility and work to do, even if it's just so far as making a flyer, printing out a page, or talking to someone, knocking on the door, inviting someone to the community meeting, speaking with your pastor, everything. It shows that the rules of engagement amongst each other have to be just as strict and principally aligned with the rules of engagement against class traders and enemies specifically. And to really emphasize that, looking at the platform as well, it also says that we're not coming as one person speaking on behalf of a party. We're coming with the ideas of community members understanding what are the needs of the community and being able to vocalize that and emphasize that in such a way that no one is misled or misstepped about what is important about the political interests being misrepresented, and as well as the economic interests that are constantly overlooked. So being able to stand for an 11-point platform that understands that full restoration of civil rights for ex-felons is just as important as community control of housing. And community control of housing is just as important as ending the community control of police and of the areas where they're being systemically placed to over-police and lower and also drive property values below market place, below market value, so developers come in for a dollar. These kind of frameworks and, like you said, planks that are on the platform, there are also levels and layers on how we shall see the value of our community increase when we take accountability on the things we want to see change and we move together to help one another in the areas that we can contribute towards that change. So I think it's a vital and a crucial development towards the political development of the community and also how we wish to sustain ourselves while refusing to be co-opted and also lifted inside of an established idea that no longer serves us or never has served the people.
Yeah, Brother Brandon, I saw a video of you out at the African Liberation Day celebration down in Baltimore. In different cities, they held at different times. I know in Philadelphia, we'll be having one here in August in conjunction with Marcus Garvey's birthday. But I saw you at one down in Baltimore and addressing some of the things and informing the people of the party. You had tables set up. So, you know, you do have boots on the ground trying to spread the word. How was the reception for some of the people getting literature, maybe choosing to get involved? And you mentioned earlier in the conversation that you had a candidate run for office.
Yes, absolutely. So I heard two questions, but I'll address the first one and move towards the second one with the best of my ability. So the first thing that I heard from you was the African Liberation Day at Lafayette Square Park, and okay, pretty much the speech. And again, people were receptive to it. I mean, it was very fair, very detailed out. And I also had a paper that I had to read off of because, again, these weren't my ideas individually. These were party lines, party platform, and party principles, which means that sometimes we stay up at night saying, oh, no, take that out, Brandon. We got to say this or add this or make sure that we include these topics because these are things that affect our community the most. And some of us need to hear this, or most of us need to make sure that it's emphasized when it's being said. So using that opportunity to be able to read from a script, that's just an example of saying, hey, I am not making a statement from what's on my mind and what's on to my personal values. This is a collective statement represented on the party, and we have worked together to be able to draw up a specific message so we can appeal to the people. And as well as being able to speak specifically on the issues as they stand and how we see them and being addressed. And people were very receptive to it. And even some of, you know, just off of hearing it, were able to sign up, inquire about the party, and also look forward to political education class, know your rights class, and as well as leadership development and training that we're looking forward to continuing going into the fall season. And I think the second question, I'm sorry, brother. I didn't want to lose my train of thought.
Yeah, the second question was, you mentioned in an early conversation, and I just want to be right.
Yeah, running the candidate.
Yeah, that you had a
candidate. Yes. So I'll speak on first, just on that, the candidate we ran for the 7th District, mm-hmm. which pretty much was Nnamdi Lumumba in the 7th District as an independent UGMA candidate. I myself was still at this time and still going to school as his volunteer campaign manager.
Okay.
I think it was one of the best things I've done because I've had a chance to engage with people in the most negative and positive, I guess that would be a give and take kind of thing. And the reason why I want to speak to it that way is that we understood that we're going up against someone that didn't have to campaign and knock on doors or show face, that all they have to do is put a D to their name and they're entitled to a PAC fund that just probably costs more than certain homes in the communities that we were knocking on. So we saw that as not only a contradiction, but the realities that we had to face with. But running that candidate specifically, we were able to get over 7% of the vote on a shoestring budget, but with a level of commitment of knowing that every door we knock on, we have to call them back, not only say thank you, whether or not the vote was garnered to us, but to ask them, well, hey, are you ready to apply pressure to the newly elected candidate of this district? Ask him what he's going to do about this yard. What is he going to do about this place? What is this economic development plan for these boarded up houses, for that matter? So running that candidate, we understand just coming out the party alone that winning is something that we didn't foresee at all because we know exactly how machine and electoral politics work. But it was more of a matter of being able to get out into the community, meet the people, and show them that we're not going anywhere. We expect to be here before and after elections to be able to see what is the difference between someone who can send you mail flyers in your mail every day and tell you to vote for them and what they'll do versus once they get in office, they can't even remember what block you live on or the problems that you have, but we do. So I'm glad that we were able to run that candidate and get that number of votes with a shoestring budget. And in the future, shall we decide to run another candidate of that measure in that capacity, we look forward to doing more than what we did before and being able to get people involved in the work of actually standing in their community and letting it known that they have a responsibility, we have a responsibility to address those much needed changes and expose those contradictions politically.
Let me grab a call or two here. Let's go to 443. 443, brother, what's your name?
This me?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Oh, hey, how you doing? How you guys doing? I just want to say, Brother Elliot, I appreciate what you're doing. And Brother Brandon, man, I'm young, so I'm hearing this, and I'm just amazed. I'm new to all this, so, but I do have a lot to say. Not really, but just want to say I appreciate what y'all doing for the advancement of the black man. Because in these times and eras, man, it's like it's very crazy. It's very hectic, especially with politics. I don't even know where to start. So I'm calling just to listen, man. I want to get participated. I want to get active, and that's why I'm on the phone here.
Well, no, take your time, man, because I want to hear from you. You said you're a young brother.
Yes, sir. I'm 24.
Good. What do you think about some of the things that Brother Brandon was presenting? I don't know whether you were either at the convention or either at the park. But what do you think about you were?
No, I missed it. I got a text. I didn't realize that I should have brought my butt down there. I apologize for that, Brother Brandon and Brother Elliot.
Well, what do you think about some of the things that Brother Brandon was saying in relation to the politics of our communities? You old enough and you understand what's going on in these areas. Police out of control. No business. We don't control the economics of our community. Very few black businesses. The education system in all of these cities is in the toilet.
I feel frustrated, first of all, because I'm a millennial, so I'm not too old or not too young enough to where I can understand exactly what I see that's on forefront for a lot of youth like me. It's a lot of opportunities out there, but it's not publicized and it's not popularized. What's popular is what we see. And I think that a lot of the money that's being funneled by all these popular the candidates that are being elected, mm-hmm. the money is being funneled to the wrong things. I understand that the demographic of Baltimore, we might say it might be the police system, but it's, we all know it's deeper than just the police. It's because the police are under the chain of command. So if it's a chain of command, that means the police are being governed by, of course, somebody up higher than them. So it's a whole command of where the drugs coming from. Why are the drugs there? How do the police make money? You know what I mean? Things of that nature. But the first thing that I've seen that I feel that as a community member and as a person that's just been, I've been working my butt off and just noticing so much stuff, I feel like the money is not going into property. I feel like that's where it should start. Because it starts with what you visually see, what you can envision. If the area looks better, then people will deem like, okay, I have to. If you compare Baltimore to almost PG County, like it's still a lot of dangerous stuff going on out there. But it's just the whole maybe it'll be a black gentrification. You know what I mean? I think that's where it should start. Is that the money should be funneled into more community aspects, meaning like there's not enough community centers. It's not publicized. It's not popularized. It's more like kids walk out their door. They walk up the street. All they see is desolation. They see desolation. They see drug dealing going on. And that's what they're breathing that in. So all they do is just they're going to regurgitate that back. For me, I always refute that because I'm like, I remember growing up in the city and I remember a different energy. Though there was a lot of things going on, the city itself didn't look so desolated. I think it starts right there. I have amongst a lot of other things, I think that's the first thing that I've started to notice is that they're letting go of how the city actually looks. So from the outsider's perspective, you see, okay, Catherine Pugh just got whatever happened to her, you know, with the whole Casa Permanente and this and that. So then you look at the police commissioner and what happened last year. And so it's like a trend almost. Like they look at Baltimore and they dismiss us. Because they don't think, they're not going to try to fix Baltimore up in no way, shape, or form. And I really don't think, I honestly, and I'm saying this to both you brothers, I do not think that the police are the issue at all. I honestly do not believe the police are the issue. I believe it's deeper than that. But it starts with the visual. So I feel like just maybe the money should be starting to be funneled into some of these properties and some of these communities just like to rebuild the community, especially like right where I'm at. I'm right here on North Avenue, so I see it all.
I agree with you, brother. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, brother Brandon.
I agree with you, brother, wholeheartedly, where the budget is the priority down at City Hall. And I would like to ask, if you get a chance, like, please follow up with us at our email and on our Facebook page, because we would more like to take the conversation offline as well. But the funding is the priority, because just what you highlighted, as true, you know, it goes deeper than the police, but the contradictions kind of buffers them in any time where we have a $1.5 billion budget, but yet the police department is getting over $750 million and the education system is getting less, they're getting half or less than that for that matter. Then to factor that in, where we live in, where in the district that we in the 7th district, probably a few blocks down into another district where Freddie Gray was murdered at, they right. actually received a new police department before they got a new rec center. So that's another contradiction to say there. And even to go forward to your point, as well as about the housing in the Penn North area specifically, where right now it's being chateled, or should I say shown off, as going to be a new historic or an arts district. But I'm saying, well, hey, well, how much art can people actually eat? How much green spaces do we need to look at when people need homes? I mean, how much art and how much green spaces do we need to look at when people need jobs? Those boarded up homes that are in the area, those are jobs. People will be happy to be paid a respectable amount, a livable wage, to be able to revitalize in the opportunity to live in. Instead, we see the contradictions of Target leaving and taking millions of dollars from Mon Darman, and right. that money could have went towards the development of Penn North.
Yes, sir. Man, my next point is like, dang, they said the riots and okay, yeah, but they took Target away. And now, you know, they made a Planet Fitness right there. But
exactly.
You know, but who's going to Planet Fitness in Mon Darman? I mean, it doesn't make sense. A lot of the stuff that does take place. But, you know, if not a community center, like they could put money into, and I know this is a dangerous idea, but, you know, they have a lot of these co-working spaces. If you've seen, like, you go to New York or you go to, I think even in Philly, like, because in D.C., like, you know, they have all these co-working spaces. But I know that's a dangerous little thing because, you know, there's people that's just like me who don't care about nothing. So they'll go into a black co-working space, you know, where it's like it's advertised to the black people. I feel like we need to be more proud about we're black and we should just have stuff just for black people. So then it just makes us feel proud or we don't want to do so much negative, but it just starts with just, you know, just showing them, you know what I mean? I don't know.
And again, that's a beautiful point. I'm going to even share something with you. So Southwest Baltimore, there's a place called the Startup Nest. Now, I'm not sure if these are Baltimore natives or not. They just taken a warehouse off of Bayard Street, not too far from the casino, and made it into a startup. So what you're saying is not only a beautiful idea, brother, we need your ideas and your solutions so we can work with you. Let the party enhance your ideas. And who knows, we probably come up with something, and I say we because it's you included as well, we'll come up with a way to counter what's going on in the district to say, hey, if we're responsible for children, childcare, healthcare, and co-op meshes where everyone can be involved and be proud of something other than just, you know, the basics of what we expect to be proud of. Now we combat the narrative that, oh, they don't care about anything and look what's going on. Because again, you look outside your window, whether you're walking, driving, or on the bus for that matter, people are going back and forth to work, battling through these contradictions, battling through these conditions. So having a co-op in a working space where it gives people the option to be able to create something in their community in which they control housing, education, and jobs, now we're kind of taking the power away from someone who's being elected to tell us what we can and can't do and selling off our interests downtown, and we bringing that power back uptown.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It just starts with, you know, just what you just said, just shifting. It's a power shift in terms of it's too, like, at the end of the day, the last two regimes that I've been born, like I've been in Baltimore, you know, 18 years, I moved around a lot, but the last two governors have somehow they managed to be white men. No disrespect to nobody, white men, but I don't understand that. We in a chocolate city. It doesn't make sense. And we, if the higher up you go, people like Brother Ellie and Brother Brandon, who I'm on the phone with right now, need to be in those positions of power because y'all have the best idea about an understanding of what's really going on in this city, in this state. And it's just, I don't know, Baltimore has the most influence anyway. So it's like, you know, we need more black figures, especially because me, I'm trying to look, like you said, we battle through the contradiction. So I'm looking for, like, oh man, I could look up to him because he's doing it. This is what I be thinking about. But then it's so few, and then they always trying to tear a black man down. But like I said, man, I just want to get involved. Honestly, I've written a lot of stuff. So, you know, whatever it takes, I want to get involved. I want to get active, and I need to.
Well, before Brother Brandon leaves tonight, I'm going to give him to give out the in fact, you can give it out now, Brother Brandon. I'll get you to do it again before you leave the program.
Yeah, Absolutely. I look forward to it. Just let me know when, because, again, we have meetings at Coppin State University where it's bus line accessible. You can walk in, and I am a student there, so as long as I'm there on campus, I'm willing to use all the spaces where I'm at for brothers and sisters, not only to come and air out your laundry and grievances, but let's work on some solutions. Let's also look at where we are and how far we need to be and what we need to do to get there.
I live right by Coppin, so that would actually be very perfect. I used to work there too, so that would be very perfect. That'd be
all right.
Very,
well,
I love that.
I'll definitely have that information for you.
And continue listening so you can write it down. And they need you, brother.
I'm ready. I got my pen ready, so I'm writing.
You're the leader they're looking for.
I don't know. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and so the email, the party's email, and we all see it as well, is uppmaryland@gmail.com. The Maryland is spelled out, but it's just UPPP, the Maryland spelled out, @gmail.com. And we on Facebook at Ujima People's Progress Party. And from there, you pretty much inbox us. We can get you the phone number and also the dates to the next location we're going to be meeting at and doing orientation for new membership as well.
Okay. All right, so uppmaryland@gmail.com. Is there – okay, and then I just email y'all my information?
Yeah, absolutely. That'll work too. And also – and again, visit our website, our page too, because sometimes if we have in like an event or an impromptu event where we're going to just come to the community, we'll post that as well. So that's a good opportunity to meet party members and to be able to, let your spiel and let your voice be heard, not just with myself but with other people who are getting involved, so you may connect with someone who live in your community and felt the same way and never known the person.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Okay, brother.
All right, thank y'all so much.
Okay.
I appreciate everything y'all doing for the community.
Continue to listen,
too,
man. Talk to you soon. Right. You know, we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. We got two callers on hold, too. We got a brother, Cliff, down in Baltimore, and another brother. We'll pick them up right after the break. You can get involved, too, with our guest, Brother Brandon of the Ujima People's Progress Party. And he'll be, Brother Brandon will be with us maybe about another half hour. So we can cover some things then, and you can get involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Time for Awakening. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening.
Time for an Awakening.
With host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
The Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
I transformed a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one of the tangible transformations I've created for entrepreneurs in various industries around the country. If this isn't what you think of when you think of accounting and business consulting, then get ready to take down this invaluable information. Are you an entrepreneur suffering with a stagnating company? Have headache customers, staff, or vendors? Are you rebounding from a loss and need help achieving your unrealized potential? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? Hi, my name is Nataki Kamban. If you're ready to go beyond advising and coaching and get results, then call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions recommend and implement the best comprehensive sales, administrative, human resources, accounting, and operations to help you grow into your vision for yourself and your company. Again, from anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072 or pull us up on your device right now and book your free consultation at www.newbusinesssolutions.com. And just mention you heard this special announcement on Time for an Awakening.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
So this government has failed us. The government itself has failed us. And the white liberals who have been posing as our friends have failed us. And once we see that all these other sources to which we've turned have failed, we stop turning to them and turn to ourselves. We need a self-help program, a do-it-yourself philosophy, a do-it-right-now philosophy. It's already too late philosophy. This is what you and I need to get with. And the only way we're going to solve our problem is with a self-help program. Before we can get a self-help program started, we have to have a self-help philosophy. Black nationalism is a self-help philosophy. What's so good about it, you can stay right in the church where you are and still take black nationalism as your philosophy.
Be such an explosive political year, because this is the year of politics. This is the year when all of the white politicians are going to come into the Negro community. You never see them until election time. You can't find them until election time. They're going to come in with false promises. And as they make these false promises, they're going to feed our frustrations. And this will only serve to make matters worse. I'm no politician. I'm not even a student of politics. I'm not a Republican nor a Democrat. Nor an American, and got sense enough to know it. I'm one of the 22 million black victims of the Democrats. One of the 22 million black victims of the Republicans, and one of the 22 million black victims of Americanism. And when I speak, I don't speak as a Democrat or a Republican. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy. When we open our eyes today and look around America, we see America not through the eyes of someone who has enjoyed the fruits of Americanism. We see America through the eyes of someone who has been the victim of Americanism. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. We haven't benefited from America's democracy. We've only suffered from America's hypocrisy.
Welcome back. It's a time for an awakening, and we're joining the conversation this evening with one of the organizers of Ujima People's Progress Party. Brother Brandon is with us this evening. Brother Nomni is holding down the fort in the background. We're talking about the just recapping the statewide convention that happened in Baltimore on May 11th and some of the other projects that the party has been working on moving forward. Again, before we bring back and go to the phones, I just want to let everybody know that my co-host, Brother Richard, is he left yesterday for a two-week visit to the continent. So Richard will be gone for a couple of weeks. So I'll be holding down the fort by myself. Some folks, they got it like that. They can travel to the continent, but I can barely go around the corner. But it ain't no problem. I'm here just holding down things. Brother Brandon, you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Good. Let's go to, got a couple calls on hold. Let's go to 410. 410, are you there? What's your name? Caller? Caller, are you with us? Let me put them back on hold. They might have stepped away. I do hear them in the background. Let's go to Brother Cliff in Baltimore. Brother Cliff, how are you, sir?
All right. Greetings. I'm pleased to have learned about your show. Brother Brandon told me about the show earlier. Actually, he and I were talking earlier, and he told me he was appearing on the show. And I really was just kind of calling in to listen, check out what he was saying, what you were saying, and, of course, to support his efforts as he, in particular, and Brother Nnamdi have been holding UPP up as an alternative to the merry-go-round, the political merry-go-round that the elephant, the donkey, has had us on for several decades. And I think it's a wonderful thing, first of all, to see in the political spectrum that there is a group that's putting that third alternative out there. I see far too often individuals from black conservative thinkers back in the maybe 20 years ago to, of course, Candace Owens today, talking to people of African descent and saying the Democratic Party has taken you for granted, the Democratic Party is not sincere. And then their solution to that is for black people to leave the Democratic Party and vote for the Republican Party, which to me makes no sense. There are some people back 20 or 30 years ago who would write in a couple of Baltimore area papers that the Democratic Party treats us like the taken for granted wife. Now, aside from the somewhat sexist analogy, the other part of it was their faulty solution to that was for us to leave the Democratic Party to be the taken for granted wife and then join the Republican Party where we can be the battered wife. And it never made any sense then to me. It doesn't make any sense now with someone like Candace Owens spreading all this stuff. Democrats just stop trusting the Democratic Party. And then she turns around and says, we love President Trump. After the things that President Trump has said about African countries, the things, the policies that President Trump has pushed through that have disproportionately harmed people of African descent in the United States, his immigration policies are not only going to hurt South American immigrants, many of whom also are of African descent, but it's also going to cause pain to immigrants coming from the African continent. So unless you simply reject concepts of Pan-Africanism, of bringing people of African descent together in unity everywhere around the world where we all suffer the same ills and at the hands of the same enemy, unless you're willing to toss that aside, then that reasoning of saying stop voting for the donkey and go to the elephant instead is completely faulty. And a lot of these people who say we should do this should be aware that there is a political organization that holds the agenda and the needs and the rights and the sufferings of black workers in the United States first. Those individuals should know about this particular political organization. And if they want to tell us to leave the Democratic Party, they should be telling us to leave the Democratic Party and go to a political party such as the Ujima People's Progress Party.
Well, Brother Cliff, I couldn't have said it no better. Brother Brandon?
Yes, I thank you, Brother Cliff, just being able to speak on that as well, where just fine-tuning, you know, not just the message, because that's just been explained, you know, brilliantly, but far as the message of worker solidarity and unions, for that matter. We would like to see in the future as well, where unions, where black workers belong to, that may be more likely white-led at this moment, but to be able to hire from the community, to be able to say, well, hey, you know, we're able to hire from the community and organize themselves as well. We also would like to see workers that belong to unions, just like the longshoremen's down, I think, in Oakland, California, to get involved with social issues, especially those that affect them, you know, personally, whether it's on the continent or back home, to be able to see the police brutality that's happening in the community where they're coming from is intolerant, and the relationship between the business class and the ruling class and how the two-party system filters themselves into that conversation is no more. We're now are taking the precedence into going on the workplace to have these conversations, to organize around it, to see that, hey, just because we are, belong to a union does not mean that our focus is on membership and union only. We got to also take the message back to the community and say, hey, I belong to this community. I grew up here. I live here. My family's raised here. So we got to make sure that the scope and range, and just like you've emphasized, is limited to identity politics and being able to see it as a blue or red thing, a donkey or elephant thing, because they've already chosen their position within the heads or the figureheads inside of the unions. It's more so working with the rank and files, those workers, those hard hat and pale men and women who come to work every day and deal with the rigors of piss poor legislation and public policy that continues to amplify the struggles of poverty and low wage jobs while we're still working within the confines of violence, poverty, and everything else coming from the community. So yes, building a working class party is something that we are focused on, indeed.
Brother Cliff, thank you for your contribution. And
thank you.
I know you'll be working hard down there with Brother Namdi and Brother Brandon.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your call.
All right.
Let's go to Newport News. Newport News, are you there? Let's put him back on hold. Let's go to 667. 667? 667? What's your name? Where are you calling from? All right, let's put 667 back on hold. Some of the brothers and sisters must be stepping away from their phone. Let's go to 443. 443? 443, are you there? Let's put them back on hold. Oh, wait a minute, hold it. 443? You there?
Brother Uji here.
How are you, sir?
All right, brother, I'm great. I remember the Ujima People's Progress Party.
Brother Uji, do me a favor. Can you come to the, because if you're on a hands-free, that causes a little background interference.
How's that?
Go ahead. That's better.
Yeah, we have a serious people problem just waking our people up. Our people think they're supposed to belong to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party.
Yes.
And part of our job is to wake our people up, to make them understand they need to develop their own party. None of these parties were developed to address the needs of African-American people from day one. And one of our great struggles is to wake our people up to the fact that they need to develop their own. One of the great things that we've seen in American society is that all the black leadership has always called for that, you know, you have to do for yourself. Marcus Garvey, you know, Elijah Muhammad. These brothers are talking about you have to do for self. You know, but when it comes down to politics, black people in America think that, you know, there are two parties, two major parties, and they only need to belong to one or the other. Part of our job is to wake our people up and to let them know that they need to develop their own party. And that's the only way that their interests will be addressed in this country. And so Eugene People's Progress Party is doing a great job in waking the people up in Baltimore. But we still have a long fight, and it's a long road just before us just to get through the maze of our people, the stupidity of our people, to be honest with you. You know, and it's a big struggle. But we are, as I see, we are moving forward, and nothing is going to stop us, and the work is getting done. I just wanted to add that as a footnote to the program. Thank you.
You know, before you leave, let me say this, and Brother Brandon can jump in. I do agree with you about the the apathy of some of our people or the lack of information. A lot of these things might not be, and I'll use the term might because I always want to give our people the benefit of the doubt, might not be all of our people's fault. If you have people that you put in leadership positions in anything, whether it's on a job, on a football team or baseball team, in politics, if people step out to be a leader, then they have to always inform the other players, their brothers and sisters, other coworkers, exactly what's going on so they can be prepared to take action when needed, to move forward when needed, to build a defense when needed, or to build an offense when needed. That's a good leader. But the people that we have been putting in positions of power that have been puppets to these both of these parties, they don't inform our people of anything. So then the people are ignorant of a lot of things until it hits them right in the face. For example, the young brother that called earlier, great call, young brother that called, talked about the target that was in his area that left and now is a Planet Fitness. Now, those things catch the community off guard. They don't know things is happening until they see construction going on. But those things don't catch the council people. I don't know whether y'all have aldermen or council people down in Baltimore, but they don't catch the council people and the ward leaders necessarily off guard. They know that these businesses are coming into the community or want to come in because a lot of times it's zoning involved. If it's construction that needs to be, if it's a new business altogether, people have to be informed. And all of the time, those so-called leaders are informed. They don't tell the community anything. They don't put stipulations on these people. For example, if it's a major construction project and Baltimore might be 63% black, then if they had any type of cultural pride about themselves, then 63% of these jobs need to be black people from the community. They don't put stipulations on these people. The next thing you know, you, me, Brother Brandon, the young brother they call, he looks around and sees a Planet Fitness or whatever, Stop and Go, or some of those filthy Asian restaurants or bodega. They see them popping up in their community like weeds. And we don't know anything about what's going on. Those things don't happen in a vacuum. That's political.
They don't. You know what? I'm old enough to remember when Baltimore used to have black businesses on the corner stores. You know, I was away for 10 years. I come back, and all of that is gone. They just recently had a Target leave Mondovan Mall, a very popular mall in Baltimore City. The people didn't know about this until like 30 days in advance. Target is closing. They're moving out.
Okay.
Much set. You know, now we have a Shoppers Food warehouse in the same development, the same mall. There's rumors now that they may be leaving. You know, so in many areas in Baltimore City, there are food deserts. The people here have no backbone to give the councilmen, to make the councilmen accountable for bringing things back to the community. One time, you couldn't be a politician in Baltimore unless you brought something back to the community.
Okay.
Only thing they bring back to the community is bad news. That is what's happening in the community. You know, so Eugene's People's Progress is a breath of fresh air in Baltimore. But the most intellectual people are the people who most of the masses will follow. But these people have been educated by someone who wasn't their friend. And people normally respond to the people who educated them. You know, and so that's why we need a brand and we need a norm, someone who can think outside of the box and to develop something else so that we can move forward. Otherwise, our people would be doomed. Eugene's People's Progress Party is a necessity. You know, it's a lifeline for African Americans, not only in Baltimore, but in this country, period, because we need a political party to gain any power in this country or to have our interests recognized. And Eugene can do. Thank you, brother.
Brother, thank you for your call. Brother Brandon?
Yes, and again, there's that saying, you know, think globally, act locally. Lately, a lot of our brothers and sisters, black and brown, they've been feeling the effects of corporate interests moving in on behalf of small town or local cities or inner city areas specifically, not as much as tied to, but give me time. So when you look at the example the brother gave with Shoppers and Target, I'll try with another one. They've taken Rite Aids and now they became Walgreens. Walgreens decides to downsize. So now you have an attack on food and drug places or prescription drugs for a better term, where people are able to shop and get access to quality produce and goods, and they're no longer able to access those because those areas where their bus line accessible or their walking distance, they now become voids to be filled. They now become empty areas and spaces that no one is able to get into, and not to mention another form of environmental racism, because sooner or later, they'll get graffiti on them. They'll become places where you see drugs or worse, people breaking inside of them and catching pretty much charges based on the places that the councilman of that district known about, like you have illustrated, that could have been avoided and say, hey, wait, you cannot leave. Like, no. And looking at that, as well as the expounding on how businesses are promised to stay a place for 30 years and they're leaving within 10 years, and the explanations that come behind it as, oh, they're leaving because they're not making enough money. No, when you can pull up a page on CNN and the other places, their profit margins, gentrification isn't happening enough, or the market that they're targeting isn't us. So rather than stay here, they'll rather redevelop, downsize, eliminate employees and paying, and move towards automation, because it's easier to tell you that you're the problem, but yet they need you as a consumer. So as a black working class political party, it's good to be able to look at these contradictions and address them with enough political consciousness to understand that these are companies that threaten to leave the country if they have to pay a higher wage. And yet we're still living above, below the poverty line and not even at the level or the conversations of a livable wage. So we're being attacked by corporations and still being attacked by a global infrastructure that diametrically opposes the existence of black and brown working class poor people in local areas in this nation for wanting to survive, from just wanting to survive.
Yeah, Brother Brandon. Well, listen, we got our work cut out for us, but I'm glad that yourself, Brother Namdi, you reached out and networked with Brother Khalid Rahim up there in Pittsburgh. I guess he let you know some of the things that he was dealing with. I guess each state, their laws of putting together political parties is different. I don't know whether Pennsylvania... their structure is a little different than Maryland. It might be the same. I'm not sure. In fact, I'm quite sure that you and Brother Namdi had conversations with Brother Khalid. he's doing what he's doing up there in Pittsburgh. You're doing what you're doing in Maryland. You've been networking. We've had other independent black parties on. Brother Zaki Baroudi out of St. Louis with the Universal African People's Organization. Omawale Yeshiteli with the Black Is Back has been on. The Brother Millier out of New Orleans with the Black Coffee Party. It's independent black parties that are all around the country now that's moving around, that's coming to prominence, that people know about in the areas. But this program, we're going to try to showcase these men and women, what they're doing in the areas, because it's necessary for our people to get involved in these cities in some type of independent leadership. Brother Mayor.
Absolutely. I'm still here with you.
Okay.
Because a lot of those names of them and those organizations, it's indicative that power comes from the bottom up. And we have to be clear and, if not, insistent upon the message that we're here to deliver a challenge to the misleadership class, a neocolonial partner to capital and white supremacy, that no more did we have to choose between an ox with shoe on our neck or a tactical boot on our throats. No more will we stand for that. No more will we allow the oppression of blackface or black people being used by blackface in servitude of white domination. No more of that. And that is an indicative response that those areas that you name, or states and cities and localities, they become aware of their responsibilities, or more so of enlightened of their potential to be able to acquiesce with the idea of self-determination and driven models that can challenge the status quo of business as usual politics.
You know, Brother Brandon, and earlier when you first started talking, you mentioned about what happened in Chicago. I was unaware of that till Brother Richard kind of pulled my coat to it. Do you know those people up there that are involved, that were involved in that?
So at this time, we do not, and for myself as an outreach coordinator, I would be remiss if I did not attempt to reach out to him at this time. But the brother Glenn Ford, when he was at the panel on May 11, 2019, he spoke highly of it, where that was something that was a coming of age, or if not, was going to happen, because it was a determinant model to be able to win power to the people and to also bring the challenge to the new regime of the Mayo administration in Chicago as well. So I vaguely have that information offhand, but I know speaking with Brother Glenn Ford, I'm going to look forward to using whatever mediums and channels to not only reach out, but to learn more about them and to understand exactly what are the ways they've taken to ascend their power and their message to the political government and electoral politics.
Yeah, and if I get any information on it, because I was looking to reach out to somebody to get them on the program, I'll share that information with you also.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, sir.
Brother Brandon, before you leave us this evening, give out any information that you want the people to know, or how they could get in contact if they're in the Maryland area, how they can even donate, because you don't have to be in Maryland to donate. You can donate from outside the area. How people can get involved.
Absolutely. So you can get in contact with the Ujima People's Progress Party by checking us out on our email page at UPP Maryland, that's spelled out as the state name, at gmail.com. That's UPPMaryland@gmail.com. You also visit us on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter as well. Ujima People's Progress Party, just all one word on Facebook and YouTube, UPP Maryland or Ujima Maryland on Twitter. And also our PayPal is ujima.maryland.upp1@gmail.com for those who would like to make a donation, and will receive an invoice as soon as it is processed and accepted, and the transaction is cleared as well. And again, that is uppmaryland@gmail.com is our email address. we respond to all emails and being able to communicate properly to take the conversations offline. And we also have an interactive Facebook page at Eugene the People's Progress Party on Facebook, and looking forward to opening up new mediums so we're not limited in the capacity of using controlled platform to send a message of self-determination and independence.
Brandon, before you leave us, let me try these calls again. Maybe they're back at their phones. Let me go to 410. 410, are you there? 410. 410, are you there? Let me put them back on hold. Maybe they're just listening. Let's go to 667 again. 667? Yeah, I'll put them on hold. And let me go back to Newport News again. Maybe he's there. Newport News?
Newport News?
No, I guess he's just listening. Brother Brandon, listen, I want to thank you for being with us. You know the door is always open to you. You can come on, give us updates, let us know what's going on. You or Brother Namdi, it doesn't matter, both of you or one of you. Maybe that new young brother that called up and said he wanted to get involved, maybe he'll be the point man next time we talk.
Absolutely. And again, that's the idea, to be able to relax those roles so myself, I can do something else, another role inside the party or in the community. And that brother can be an outreach coordinator or more. And collective work and responsibility is pretty much the background of that, of the Eugene name.
That's what it's all about, brother. Listen, we'll talk soon, man.
Okay. All right. All right. You take care, brother. And give Brother Richard my best.
Okay, now. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
We're going to take a brief break. And when we come back, we'll kind of transition into an open forum the rest of the way. You can get involved in the conversation, too, by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Time for Awakening. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening, Time for an Awakening, with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
I think you'll find, sir, that there will come a time when black people wake up and become intellectually independent enough to think for themselves as other humans, are intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, then the black man will think like a black man, and he will feel for other black people. And this new thinking and feeling will cause black people to stick together. And then at that point, you'll have a situation where when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. And this type of black thinking will cause all black people to stick together. And this type of thinking also will bring an end to the brutality inflicted upon black people by white people. And it is the only thing that will bring an end to it. No federal court, state court, or city court will bring an end to it. It's something that the black man has to bring an end to himself.
Preachers and leaders, you administrators, you teachers, you leaders, you are the worst. No cowardly, punctified leader will lead this new generation of young black men and women. Your day of leading them is finished. You can't feel it? When you talk to young people, you can't feel that you're missing them? Parents, you can't feel when you're talking to your children that this is a new generation and they don't want to hear your compromising talk? Did you hear them in Ferguson tell Jesse, get the hell out of here? You ain't no leader. I was hurting for my brother because Jesse worked hard for our people. But time has moved on. And what was good yesterday ain't no good at all today. So either you become a new vessel so that new wine can be poured into the old wine. For your day of leading our people is over, and it will never come back to you again. Damn it, we're still in the land of our bondage. We're still in the land of captivity. We're still a slave to the Democratic Party. Still a slave to the Republican Party. You can't even see a Freedom Party. You don't see it. You're a slave. I'm a slave. And unless we admit that we are slaves, then we can never get free. Never get free.
You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor.
And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And they're all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump.
So you could see that the government of America has been planning our demise. Any members of Congress here, any members of the civil rights movement that are here, you love this nation. You've suffered every indignity to make America better, that she might be great. And every time you forced her to make a law that was in our favor, they came right behind that law with skill and chicanery to make the law of non-effect.
When it came to treating the citizens of African descent fairly, America failed. She put them in chains. The government put them on slave quarters, put them on auction blocks, put them in cotton fields, put them in inferior schools, put them in substandard housing, put them in scientific experiments, put them in the lowest paying jobs, put them outside the equal protection of the law, kept them out of their racist bastions of higher education, and locked them into positions of hopelessness and helplessness. The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America, that's in the Bible, for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating her citizens as less than human. God damn America, as long as she tries to act like she is God and she is supreme.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And again, I want to thank Brother Brandon, also Brother Namdi of the Ujima People's Progress Party for being with us this evening. Give us an update on the convention, what happened there, and some of the projects that they have moving forward. We'll be getting updates from Brother Brandon, also Brother Khalid Rahim, and some of the other folks that have been on in reference to these independent black political parties. Because if we're going to be involved in politics here in this country, we need to develop other means to do it. Because this dog and pony show of dealing with this Democrat and Republican Party, especially in reference to our people, it does not work, and it don't work. And we don't want to be like banging our head up against a brick wall thinking that we're going to get a different result. We need to do something different. It's up to us to do it. Nobody's going to do it for us. Some of these men have some good ideas, and they're putting those ideas into practice. They're not just sitting there or going back and forth or being in an armchair or just talking about it. They're doing it. So we want to showcase some of those men that are doing some things so we can kind of move things forward, move the needle forward give people options, things that they can get involved in. A couple of things, then we got another caller just jumped on. A couple of things I want to mention. I'm going to get in contact again with Brother Thomas Burrell. I've been meaning to do that, to give us an update on the black farmers' lawsuit against their Stein Seed Company. They were forced into mediation by the federal judge, and that mediation seemed to reach an impasse. And I want to find out exactly what was going on, and the best thing to do is to bring him on so he can inform the black public what is going on in reference to that multi-billion dollar lawsuit against that Stein Seed Company for selling fake seed to African-American farmers. And it kind of made me think about it again, think about contacting Mr. Burrell, because I've seen where Trump is giving farmers $14 billion as a bailout because of that the trade war that he's having with China. And it was a question in the Philadelphia Tribune about black farmers being able to avail themselves of some of that money in reference to land loss. That, those things were supposed to be addressed in that Pickford versus Glickman lawsuit. We had some of the named plaintiffs that was involved in that suit that said it was never about any $50,000 for a new tractor or $51,000. It was all about recovering the land that had been taken from them, or they had lost during that whole 25-year period. So I want to try to get in contact with Mr. Burrell in reference to giving us an update about our farmers. I was reading this article here, and it's a dated article. It's about a month old. But I'll share it with the listening audience before I go to our caller. Racial discrimination, the IRS audits reveal in a new report that are yet another way of depleting and plundering the wealth of Southern black farmers. It says in Baker County, Georgia, a small county in the Southern Black Belt, there are 9.2 people audited by the IRS for every 1,000 tax filings between 2012 and 2015, a pretty high rate considering there are roughly only about 3,200 people in the county. The national audit rate for that time period is 7.7 audits per 1,000 filings. Baker County's audit rate is well above the 6.4 times 1,000 in the Washington County, Wisconsin, and for the 6.1 audit rate in Shelby County, Minnesota. The difference between these counties are quite stark. Washington and Shelburne counties have a median household income of $73,021 and $83,885, respectively, compared to Baker County, $43,867. And while roughly half of Baker County's population is African American, Washington and Shelburne counties both have white populations of 95%. These profiles are pretty typical of those, and does not show the racial inequities involved in these tax audits by the IRS, according to the report on regional IRS audits bias from former IRS economist Kim Bloomquist. And the shockingly, the heaviest trail is found across the Black Belt South from Mississippi to Georgia. The Black Belt is populated mainly by black farmers, many of whom are living below the federal poverty lines. In Baker County, Georgia, 24.6% of the people are living in poverty, according to the U.S. Census figures. This means that many of the Baker County workers are eligible for earned income tax credit, which helps low-income filers, and it's the EITC that's been snagging poor flyers in the IRS audit to dragnet. The 10 counties with the highest IRS audit intensities are found in the Black Belt, 8 of them in Mississippi alone. Baker County, 9.2 rates pale in comparison to Humphrey County, Mississippi, where the rate is about 11.8 per 1,000 filings. The northeast region of the U.S., meanwhile, appears to be the largely protected from the IRS fine-tooth combs, despite the larger volume of wealthy households and wealthier farmers in those areas. And it mentions all of these counties here that are heavily audited by the IRS all throughout the Black Belt. Baker County, Georgia is worth noting because it is the home of Shirley Sherrod, the African-American woman who was unceremoniously fired from her job at USDA in 2010 after a video of a speech she gave was selectively edited to make it sound like she was using her post to discriminate against white farmers. It's worth revisiting that speech in full, as her ordeal helped focus a spotlight on the plight of Southern African-American farmers who had lost their farmland and properties taken to them for decades. The Federation of Southern Cooperatives Land Assistance Fund gives the chronology of the loss, showing that in 1910, there were an estimate 218,000 black farmers who were full or part-time farmers and over 15 million acres of land owned by black people. By 1992, there were fewer than 18,000 black farmers owning only 2.3 million acres of land, most of which was due to exploitation of black families who acquired land passed down to their heirs and family members, often without strong documentation to protect their ownership. So we see here, again, more exploitation of black farmers with the IRS after they won that so-called billion-dollar lawsuit under the Obama administration. It's still more of the same things warmed over by both Democrats and Republicans. It's no different. Now, that the $14 billion that Trump has given to farmers, the agricultural secretary is a former Georgia governor. So you know that African Americans get very little of that $14 billion that's used to bail out farmers. It won't be a black farm bailout. It'll be white farmers. So, it's just more evidence to let our people know that this type of stuff, and every 2 years, 4 years, vote like your life depends on it, vote because your ancestors died for that right, all that stuff, doesn't work. It doesn't hold. It's time for intelligent discussion on these issues, critical discussion, because that same old tired excuse is not working for our people. Before we wind things down, I want to at least go over to, let me mention this also. The Time for Awakening website has been revamped. I think it's a little more user-friendly than it was. It's still some little tweaks and features that we're going to add. It's a product section on there through our partnership with the BB, bbtoomey.com. Language courses that are offered by Dr. Obadeli Kamban. If folks are going to the continent and they want to kind of immerse themselves in the language, and even if they don't, it's always important to learn other languages. We're here and we want to learn Spanish, French, German, and all those languages that are not a part of us. We can learn some of our people's languages, because the majority of the people on the planet are African or of African descent, and a lot of these languages, it's good to familiarize yourself with them. I do know one thing, that our people that come from the continent over here know how to speak at least two or three, sometimes four languages, and it's always good for our people to have knowledge. So it's language courses offered on timeforawakening.com, other products, speeches, things of that nature that have been offered. We got other products coming soon that will be offered in the marketplace when you go to timeforawakening.com. So, it's still the programs, the podcasts, the various programs, some of the interesting articles. So it's a lot of things that we're doing that we're adding, and hopefully it'll add to the knowledge base of listeners, people that go to the site and things of that nature. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program. Let's see. Oh, before we do that, I got to give the lineup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, African Perspectives with Brother Oshie. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Afterwards, the Black Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3 on time for An Awakening. Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad Ahmed from 6 to 8 on time for An Awakening. And also starting on Mondays, and I don't think it's this Monday, it might be next Monday. And Cobra has a program that will be airing from 9 to 10 on time for An Awakening. And then the Warren Valentine show will be airing from 10 to 12 on time for An Awakening, Mondays through Friday. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on time for An Awakening. On Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10 on time for An Awakening. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy from 7 to 8 on time for An Awakening. And Friday from 8 to 10, Time for Awakening is back with just me, no Brother Richard, for 2 weeks. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
If you're driving through the country on a lazy afternoon, or you're watching your children playing after school, they seem to be so unaware. Oh, I know the thing that they'll soon have to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. We know about the problem.
children. Soon it will be their turn to try and save the world. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. To save the children. To save the children.